Tonight I'm going to look a little bit. We've looked at this before. It's been a while on asking and receiving. John R. Rice has a book on prayer entitled Asking and Receiving. And of course, your prayer life is more than that. But that's one of the main focuses of it. Your prayer life should also, in a big part, be about worship and praising God and thanking God. Giving Him glory, that's important. We know from Scripture that that is important to God. When the Lord was here, it said they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So God expects us to give Him glory and to be thankful for what He does in our lives and in our hearts. Over in Matthew, the Lord speaking in Matthew 7 and verse 7, and He says this. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his own son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? So here in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord explains to the disciples the willingness of the Heavenly Father to answer their prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. It's not like we're bothering God or bugging God whenever we go to God with a prayer request. That's what He does, answer prayers. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward Him. God wants to show Himself strong. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Prove me herewith. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to receive. Asking and receiving. He said, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? So throughout Scripture we see a constant theme of God showing favor unto men who recognize Him as God and seek Him and ask for His intervention. God wants to intervene on your behalf. Hezekiah was sick to death. Remember the story of Hezekiah? And God told him to get his house in order, that he's going to die. And Hezekiah, man, he didn't want to die. He went to God, entreated God with tears and prayer, and God heard him. And you know what God did? God added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. God wants to hear your prayers. And throughout Scripture, we've got one scenario after another of God's people asking and receiving from their Heavenly Father. And you parents, it's the same way that you are with your kids. You want to be a blessing to your children. This thing of prayer, you know, it wasn't just for the apostles. It's not just for super spiritual Christians. Because the playing field is even and level at the cross. God is no respecter of persons. When you ask in the name that's above every name, that name of Jesus Christ opens all of God's doors. And He's ready, willing, and able to hear your prayer. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. God wants to bless you. He wants to do that. The same way you want to bless your children. And I'm talking about, now I'm not talking about needs. The Bible says, for my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. We understand that. And you supply all your kids' needs. But from time to time, don't you just want to be a blessing to them and kind of give them something you know that their heart would like to have? Sure you would. That's what parents do for their kids. Try to be a blessing. And I'm not talking about just needs. I'm talking about some wants along the way too. And when I go to God, I ask Him, Lord, if there's any way within Your will You can do this, I ask You to do it. And we'll look at that boldness here. Now I know there's some hindrances to prayer. The Bible talks about those, selfishness. If all your prayer is about you getting something, well, Lord, I come to You tonight, Lord, with a heavy heart, Lord, and I'm asking, Lord, if there's any way within Your will, I'd hit that mega ball lottery, Lord, and win it all to Your glory. Now, what He's talking about? I don't know if anybody's played that thing or not. If anybody backslides and hits it, I don't want to go there. I've told this story. I've told it since it happened, I think. One Christmas. What's his name? Big Al. What's Big Al's last name? Big Al Hoffman. He is up at my brother Aubrey's house, and I took my mom up there after. And we were over at Jerry and Rose's, Jeff's families, and had a dinner Christmas Eve, and then went up to my brother Aubrey's. And Big Al was handing out Powerball tickets for Christmas presents. And I preach against it. The Bible says to be content with such things as you have. But I put them in my pocket. You know, when those numbers came out, I run and got that thing and looked to make sure I didn't. See, that's how spiritual sometimes we think we are, but we're really. Let me move on. I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. But he said in James 4:3, said, "You ask and receive not." Why? "Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." Lord, I'd sure like to have a new Harley. Man, it'd look good in my driveway, Lord. And I'd look good going down the road with my hair blowing in the wind. Joyce wants to be a biker babe so bad. I don't know what she said, but let's move on. Women remain silent in the church. Let me move on. All right. 1 Peter 3:7 speaks of prayers being hindered because of bitterness between a husband and wife. Fellas, did you know that will hinder your prayers? 1 Peter 3:5. 1 Peter 3:5 says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Amen's all over the building. "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." "Likewise, ye husbands," okay, "dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, watch it, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You fussing and fighting, bitter at your wife, and it looks like that goes both ways. It says being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Wow. So you need to get that right. Be going to God in prayer when you know from Scripture that that's a hindrance to prayer. All right, we talked about selfishness in James 4 and verse 3. How about someone who is just stingy? Stingy with God, stingy with one another. Man, I've known folks like that. Just and wouldn't help anybody out if they had to. That's a tough spot to be in. Proverbs 21:13, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." That's pretty tough. Watch out. I had a message years ago. I'd talk about the fellow that was so tight. He'd tell his wife to put her glasses down when she wasn't looking at anything. Man, that's pretty tight. I've had some relatives tighter. I bet this is on tape. Let me move on to another subject here. Hey, God brings somebody across your path. He talks about if you've got the world's good laid up beside you and you see somebody in need, God kind of thinks you ought to try to help them a little bit. Who knows whether God sent that person to you? I'm trying to be pretty sensitive. I know you can't help everybody. You can't fix anybody. I found that out. Can't fix anybody and you can't help everybody, but you can help some. If God brings somebody across my path, I'm asking, well, God, why did you bring that person across my path? Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Now, why do you think some of these big downtown churches are dead as a hammer? Because they're too tight. They think it's their money. Or they treat it like it's a business. We're not a business. We are a ministry. We're not here to make money. We're not here to gather up money and save it for something. Now, I understand we have building projects and different things, a parking lot and our land. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about churches that think that their church is a business. No, we're a ministry. And money goes to ministry. But you can't sit on thousands of dollars and not help somebody when the need comes across your path. You expect God to hear you, you better be willing to hear someone else. Hear someone else. How about idolatry? And that's whenever you put anything in front of God, you make an idol out of a lot of things. Is that a hindrance to prayer? Ezekiel 14 in verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Well, they put everything in front of me. Now, there's a lot you can put in front of God. You can put the kids' sports programs in front of God, and that's all you think about. You can put anything that you want to that you place ahead of God is a idolatry. You've got to be careful about that. And that's something that probably all of us from time to time are guilty of. And sometimes God has to bring us back to reality that it's all about Him. It isn't all about us. It's all about fishing tournaments, competition hunts, competition this. It's football games. Wow. So if our prayers aren't being answered, there's a lot of things that we can look at as to why they're not being answered. James chapter 1 speaks of a double-minded man that God is reluctant to do anything for. Now, listen, on this side of the cross, the Bible says this in Hebrews 4:16. He says, let us therefore come boldly. Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 3:12, in whom, Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I like that verse. God will give you boldness about the gospel, and we can be bold with our prayer request. Nothing's too big for God, and nothing's too small for God to hear that prayer. I pray to God about little things. I said the other night, I think losing my keys. We've got a new squirrel dog pup, a mountain cur pup. how old is it, about 11, 12 weeks now. And it disappeared the other day, disappeared from the yard. And, well, I went looking, and I drove my quad up and down the road in the neighbor's house and looked all over the place. I said, God, help me find that pup. Here up comes my neighbor, Holly House. My niece had that dog in the truck with her. He is sitting out on my porch with my dog. So, but I ask God for that kind of stuff. You say, well, what? I don't think you ought to be bugging God with something as silly as that. Not silly to me. Not silly if it's not silly to me. And I ask it in Jesus' name. It's not silly to God. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You notice whose faith that we have confidence in? It's His faithfulness. That's why I'm bold, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That gives me boldness. Now, in the Old Testament, access was sometimes limited. On the other side of the cross, back before the sins were paid for, before Christ died, it says this. Isaiah 59:1 said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Another one like that, Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, my pastor, Charlie Davis, straightened me out on that little passage of Scripture. Because if you look on this side of the cross, our access is because of Christ. Our access isn't based on whether we've committed a sin or haven't committed a sin. Our access is based upon Jesus Christ. We have boldness and access because of the faith of Him. Now, if you've been messing up and been doing wrong or doing some of these hindrances the prayer talks about, God may not give you what you're asking for. But He heard your prayer. You have access to Him. And you can approach unto Him through Jesus Christ. So you got to be careful with some of those Old Testament passages, because the Bible says we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. After the cross, the veil was done away with, if you'll recall, and we now have access because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Now listen, just because we have access don't mean that God is going to do anything for a Christian who's living like the devil. You have access. But if you're not doing right, God may just say you need to get some things right before we move on. Now, I don't want to be contradictory, because even though the playing field is level at the cross, what I'm saying is it does not deny you access to God. You still have boldness and access because of Jesus Christ. All right. So we see several different hindrances to prayer. And turn back to James chapter 4. We'll look at something different. Look at a verse. We looked at verse 3 earlier, talking about selfishness and asking for things that you consume upon your lust. But I want you to look at verse 2, back up to James 4 and verse 2. "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war." Now watch this. "Yet ye have not because ye ask not." I'm convinced that one of the greatest hindrances to prayer today is because you're not asking. You just don't ask. Oh, God, I don't want to bother God with that. No, God, I've said you have not because you ask not. God wants to hear from you. A lot of people are just too sorry to ask God. Well, I can handle that on my own. You know, I'll work it out. How about going to God with it? You got a problem with something? And you'll worry over it and fret over it lose sleep, lose money, lose whatever over some problem you've got. When if you'd have gone to God, first of all, with it, who knows what God might have done. He might have taken care of the whole business for you. He does. That's what God does. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Hey, we live in a world today, in an age today, that has most of the Christians convinced that God is just maybe an abstract being. We don't take God seriously, and we don't take His Word seriously. We treat God many times, Christians treat God as a court of last appeal. And I've seen Christians, many carnal Christians, they don't do a lot of things that God would hope that they would do. But when something goes down in their life and something goes south, man, they're talking to God. Court of last appeal. Hey, God said, come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. All right. I'll give three quick types of Christians you'll probably find yourself among these three. The first group is a Christian who looks to God as a God of possibility. Well, I know God can do it. I know He can. He can do all. I know He can. You really believe that all things are possible with God, you just don't really expect God to deal with your problem. You don't expect Him to. Remember what I talked the other day about this law of expectation and belief, and that's what the Scripture talks about. Whatever soever you ask, believing, not wavering. But we just don't expect God to do anything for us. The God of possibility. That's a group that will see five specialists before they ever talk to God about their medical problem. Asa was a perfect picture of this. Remember Asa in Scripture? In 2 Chronicles 16:12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. Probably diabetes or something like that. Not sure. Until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And you know what it says in the next verse? It says, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Hey, now if you look at the context there, God wasn't upset at because Asa went to the doctor. God was upset because Asa never once went to God with his problem. He went to all the doctors first, and then at the court of last appeal, he perhaps looked to God. Contrast that with Hezekiah. We talked about Hezekiah. Hezekiah sought the Lord, and the Lord let him live 15 more years. Some folks are so convinced that God isn't going to hear them, God isn't going to help them, that they just never quite get around to asking. I don't know why to ask. He's not going to do anything anymore. I mean, doctor said this. What's the point in me going to God with it? Who was it that I heard say this? Might have been Vance. It is Vance Havner. Talking about the woman that said she kept going to the doctor, and finally the doctor said, well, when they couldn't do any more for her, they told the lady, said, well, we can always pray. And she said, oh, has it come to that? Has it come to that? Duh. It should have come to that first of all, not last of all. And that's the same crowd that's covered up with money problems, consults every banker, relative, and financial advisor without ever seeking an answer from God. Say, God, I'm struggling here, and I know you may have just appointed me to this struggle, but Lord, if there's any way you can help me through this and give me direction on how to deal with this, Lord, open up something for me, Lord. Help me with this. You believe in God. You trusted Christ for salvation. You believe Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boil. But you sure believe that. But you just can't quite buy into the fact that the power of God is available to God's children. He's a God of possibility, but you never look to Him as a God of probability. Wouldn't it be nice to go to God knowing that probably He's going to give me what I asked for? Okay, group number two. Group number two sees God as a God of probability, but never seems quite able to bridge the gap from the God of probability to the God of immutability. Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. My. Oh, we hope God is going to help us, and we're hoping and wishing and wishing and hoping, and maybe God will help me. Oh, and oh, if I only had the faith. One fellow in Scripture said, Lord, help mine unbelief. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Did you notice that? God wants to reward those that diligently seek Him. That means He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what you need. I know He knows what you need, but He wants to know that you know what you need. What you and I need to understand today is it's not only that all things are possible with God. Not only is God the God of probability, but our God is also the God of immutability. Wherein God, Hebrews 6:17, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable means can't be changed. You can't get past it. In which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Trusting God that God won't lie to you. God can't because He's holy. God is not a man. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, shall He not make it good? Well, hey, when you become part of this group, understanding the very nature and grace of God to those whom He has given to His precious Son, you'd be a lot more willing to ask God for some things. Hey, Jesus Christ chose me. I chose Him. Man, I'm part of the family. Joint heirs with Christ. Man, I've got a way into the Holy of Holies through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. Wow. Let that grip you and take hold of that. When you reach that group to see the God of immutability, you'll find the power and the presence of God that led the Apostle Paul to say this. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Maybe our problem is just that we're not asking Maybe the greatest hindrance to our prayers is that we are not asking. Or maybe you're asking, but you're just really not expecting God to do anything for you. My. Remember the correlation he gave with you and your children? Your children ask you for something. You want to do something for that child. You want to be there for your child. God wants to be there for you. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My. Freely give us all things. He spared not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was everything that meant anything to God, and yet he gave you him, gave you his son, gave me his son. Why in the world would he hold back anything that he sees that we have a need for and that we have a desire for? I'm not talking about a health and wealth thing. I'm talking about just asking and receiving from God. Has he heard from you lately? Maybe that those things that you thought you could handle on your own. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But God wants to hear from you today. You have not because you ask not. I'm done. Everyone stand up tonight. Man, I'm thankful to have a God that hears me, and I know he hears me. In fact, the Bible says, and this is I forget the address on this. He said, but this is the confidence that we have in him, knowing that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Wow. That's quite a promise from God. Asking and receiving. John R. Rice was a sweet old pastor. I always look at him from a pastor's perspective. Asking and receiving. Try him out. God says, prove me herewith. Try me out. Try me out and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. What page, Jeff? The altar's open tonight. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, don't let the night pass. Be a good night to get saved. Any night's a good night to get saved, especially tonight. The altar's open.
301.
301.